guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We have Zimperium in studio. We've got Rick Remus and Steve Flowers hanging out with us. And also one of our 3i, one of the gentlemen for 3i internally here, Mr. Greg Waddell, who runs our marketing department. Greg, thank you for joining us as well, good sir. We're going to do a quick round of intros, and then we're going to jump right into what Zimperium is, talk about mobile threat defense, and also some analogies along the way. And then we're going to kill you with slides, lots and lots of slides. I'm kidding, of course. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to do instead, we're going to do a live phishing demo at the end of this to show you how both easy and how insane it is with the things that you can control. And we're also going to show you what a man in the middle attack looks like. I'd realize that under COVID, everybody's been quarantined with a stay at home and work at home orders. But as businesses start to open back up, people start to get back out into the world. Like places like coffee houses and hotels will be visited. You're going to have unsecure Wi-Fi, not to be confused with insecure Wi-Fi. But you're going to be on those access points out there where you're going to have some type of alert system in order to make sure that you're not getting spoofed or taken advantage of. So very excited to show you guys this stuff today. Greg, why don't we go over to you for a quick intro, even though I just kind of did it, and then over to the Zimperium team. And then we're going to come right back in for some definitions of what threat defense is. Greg, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Reed. Pleasure to be here. My name is Greg Waddell. I'm the partner manager at 3i. I split my time managing our vendor relationships and then managing the marketing department at 3i. Super excited to talk with you guys today. Rick, I'll throw it over to you for the next intro.
Thanks a lot, Greg. So my name is Rick Remus. I am Senior Director of Channels at Zimperium. And what I think about gets me excited is how do we help partners tell more stories and what's new out in the marketplace today? And as we've seen, as we become more reliant on our mobile devices, that this is an area that is, you know, an opportunity to talk to your customers about. And with that, we can share with you some of those vulnerabilities that I never knew existed. And with that, pass it over to Steve Flowers.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, I'm Steve Flowers. Thanks. I am a pre-sales engineer, a sales engineer with Zimperium. I get paid to demo all the cool new toys and stuff like the phishing attacks and the man in the middle attacks that we're going to show later.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right. So that takes care of the intros. Next up, what is threat defense? Who wants to take that one? Rick, do you want to jump on that?
So, you know, I think the way I can talk about threat defense is that we have this false sense of security that our phones are reliable and that, you know, whether it be an Android or iOS, that these things are locked down. And more importantly, no one cares about my mobile phone. But if you think about it, if I get access to your mobile phone, it's like getting in the inside of your brain. Reed, I don't want to be inside your brain because that's just a little bit disturbing. I already can see that. But, you know,
I have a wonderful brain.
But, you know, it's like I learned everything about you from a personal and professional standpoint so I can start building a profile. And if you think about malicious actors, what's their target? What are they trying to do? Well, they got three things they're looking at. They're looking to land and expand. They're persistent. And they're looking to see where the soft targets. And what they've discovered is mobile is wicked soft. Yeah. It just last year alone, I don't know if you guys knew this, there were over 1,000 security updates between Apple and Android. Just 1,000. And that's what we're talking about is how do we start protecting the integrity of the device? You know, I personally got hacked on going on a rogue access point, and I didn't even know what happened. I did a lunch and learn, and I got onto the casino network in Toledo, and did some work, and went back to the lunch and learn, and the next vendor got up and he presented, and I'm looking at all these SSIDs, and I went, okay, that's my place in Andover. That's my place, my parents' house in Scottsdale. And I'm like, what happened? And I had all these weird emotions. I was embarrassed. I was angry. I felt violated. It was all these really powerful thoughts just showing my SSIDs. And I didn't know at the time that I got on a rogue access point. One, I didn't know what that meant. And two, I didn't even know my phone was compromised. So what we're trying to do at Zimperium is provide that one, the awareness from a user perspective, and the visibility and remediation from a business point of view. So that's mobile threat defense and kind of in a story of what we're trying to do.
Very cool. And I also, Greg or Steve, you guys have anything to add additionally to that before I'm jumping in here?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
I'll get excited in a minute.
You got to say, yeah, Steve's going to get excited when he starts to actually break stuff and infiltrate right. devices. So that's a fantastic overview of what mobile threat defense is. Thank you for going through that. I think a lot of times too, like within the world of security, there's like this perception. We talk about mobile devices being a soft target, and man, it's not even so much that they want your personal data anymore. And I think this isn't talked about a lot. It's not your data necessarily that they want. They want your corporate data. They might be able to hit you for a couple $1,000s of ransomware, but the big fish is swimming upstream, and that's who you work for. That's your employer, getting into their network, being able to find out who controls what and ultimately whacking them. So that's why mobile threat is so incredibly important. And there's some misconceptions around that we're going to jump into a little bit as well, that if I have an MDM, I'm all set when it comes to mobile threat, and that's not the case. We're going to talk about the origin of that as well, as to why that talk track as errant and got mixed up in the market. But real quick, I wanted to hit on some recent news of attacks. There's actually a couple of three things that we can speak to internally. I'm not going to name any names, but three of our partners were actually hit with some type of an attack. We're not sure if it was man-mail or phishing, but I've actually gotten emails from our partners, some of our vendor partners, that have said, you know, like, hey, here's that quote you were asking for. And I'm like, that's not something that I do. I don't ask for quotes. That's not on my wheelhouse. So I was very suspicious. Our director of sales had gotten them as well. All the way up to our CEO. Occasionally I'll get stuff in his quote unquote name from outside of the organization. Just constantly just things getting thrown over the fence. Nothing that's come from us internally as far as our email handle. But we have gotten things sent to us from our partners that are actually their email handle, which is crazy. Even though they think that there's a perception that this isn't nearly as bad of a problem. I read an article again about MS Teams. We're using Teams right now to record this. There's an evil GIF attack of Donald Daffy Duck that even just looking at the message, you can swipe someone's credentials. There's a school district that we're in the talking to currently that just got hit with a ransomware attack, and also a U.S. food distributor here in Chicago that also got hit with a similar attack. And this is all from something as simple as stolen credentials and people not even realizing that it happened. So Jeff Bezos's phone was hacked as well. I don't know if you guys have any others that you want to throw out, any recent news stories or anything you want to talk about.
Well, you know, it's interesting you think about that, Reed, and it's part of it is you think about how we consume content and share it with our community using mobile devices, and that we are high, you know, especially in this, you know, we're distracted when we're looking at our phones. We got multiple things coming at us at once. We're not as diligent as we think we are or we should be when we're using our desktop and laptop and actually slowing down. And what you're seeing is that whether it be a phishing attack or man in the middle, you know, I talked to a buddy of mine, similar story. This was a small business. He's a high-end landscaping in the Boston area. And he asked me, Rick, what do you do? And I told him a couple stories. And he said, well, we got hacked. I said, go on. And he said, well, someone sent an email from me to my CFO saying, can't talk right now, in a meeting, wire $25,000 to this account.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
It's for a small business, that's a huge hit. And think about that for a moment. If I'm a CFO, I got an email from the owner. My inclination is I want to please and react immediately.
Sure, yeah.
You know, thankfully for my friend, the CFO walked into his office with a piece of paper for him to sign off on the dollar amount. And he's like, what's this? He says, well, you sent me an email. I said, no, I didn't. He says, yeah, here it is. It's like, I didn't do that.
Oh, man, that's creepy. It's a good thing he was down the hall from him. Otherwise, you could have said bye bye to that 25,000.
That's it. And I said to him, I said, well, do you know where the point of entry was? He says, I think it was mobile. I don't know, but they got compromised.
Yeah.
And what you kind of shared is happening more than people are willing to talk about.
That's a frustration I definitely want to get to as well, which is like, and we don't have to wait to get to it, but there's a perception that mobile threat isn't as much of a necessity as people think it is, because nobody openly talks about these things. And if you think about it, if you're a large organization and you just got smoked, are you going to go public with that knowledge and be like, yeah, we got our ransom attack? Like, no one talks about it. So it happens and it goes swept, and then it just keeps happening and happening and happening because of the embarrassment around it even happening to begin with. That's why this keeps getting worse.
And it's interesting, just playing on that, trying to tackle the enterprise, you know, this was publicly released. 7-Eleven launched an app in Japan. And one day, you know, and you're able as a user to link your bank account to it. Mm-hmm. And a day after that app came out, you know, users were contacting 7-Eleven going, I got these charges that I didn't do. Oh, man. And before you even knew it, $500,000 was out of their, you know, customers' accounts because the app got hacked.
That's crazy.
You know, I kind of think about it, you know, what's the end game? Why are people doing this? It's not because, you know, Steve's a handsome guy and want to learn more about it. It's, you know, how do I get money? And, you know, it used to be, and it's just like, you don't hear about bank robberies anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, because I get shot, you know, people shoot at you, you get arrested, you always get put in jail. When's the last time you heard someone really, you know, when someone, you know, hacked City of Atlanta for ransomware for $55,000, they were down for 2 weeks, cost them over $3 million. Guy got away scot-free.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think it's also particularly interesting right now in light of these coronavirus times that we're all living in. I mean, things were already trending totally mobile, right? Mobile devices are now the new work computer for everybody. I don't know about you guys. I'm working from home. I find myself doing more stuff off of a tablet or my phone than I ever have before in my life. But when you think about hackers, they thrive in times of desperation, right? So all of a sudden, there's just a brand new open door for these types of attacks. I read an article last week in Time Magazine about phishing attacks related to the stimulus checks. And they said the FTC received 18,000 complaints of fraud in a week.
Well, and I got an email from my bank specifically on that, on stimulus checks. Beware, you won't be getting texts. Don't click on it. And I thought that was fascinating that my bank sent me that information. But once again, people are distracted.
Mm-hmm.
It seems real. I'm just going to click on it because, once again, mobile's pretty secure. And why would someone want to attack my hack me? I'm just Rick Remus. I'm no one.
I got three things I'll jump in on right here, right? I heard three things that I want to key on. Number one, your home networks, because we're in this lockdown or COVID type situation, your home networks are not to the same caliber that your corporate network would be, right? So your little home router and firewall and everything, it's pretty easy to bypass in most circumstances, right?
So Steve, to that point, how many people, there's this thing I just read about this like a week ago, I completely forgot about. Most people's routers are still set with just whatever the default password is.
You mean password?
Admin password. Yeah.
Or admin. We see that a lot, right?
Yeah. And if you're a terrible person, don't start jacking with people's stuff. This is, you know, don't use this as a means to be a bad human. But yeah, it's a lot of people have never changed just their default passwords for their gateways. It's incredible how vulnerable that is.
It's as simple as that sometimes to get in, right? You know, a few years ago, what was it? One of the big credit reporting agencies. They got hacked. They got breached and everything. And that's how it led in, was simple password, right? Admin, right? So there's your firewall, your perimeter, right? So your perimeter is getting further and further away from your corporate environment. So we're looking at things like mobile device that is essentially now becoming your perimeter. As a corporation, it's becoming your perimeter. So your people are all over the place. They're doing business on their mobile phones, but it's not as secure, right? So the third point that I was going to drive to is we don't hear about a lot of these things because people just aren't looking, right? If you don't have zips on your phone or anything, how would you know that your device is under attack?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not testing for it, how do you find out if there's even an issue? Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I want to,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, Greg, there was some notes in here about the TV show, Mr. Robot. Do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. So I think hearing both of you guys talk about this, Rick and Steve, it's really interesting to me because from my personal experience, right, I was one of those naive people a couple of years ago before I started really getting to know Rick more and just talking about what Zimperium does. I thought, okay, no way. Hackers don't want my information. What do I have that they would need? Like there's no way. I'm just not worried about it. It's not a problem for me. And I think what's been interesting for me over the past couple of years is in a slight way, I do feel that hacker culture is becoming a little more mainstream. And Mr. Robot's one of the first entry points I had into that. It was a TV show literally just about this kind of vagabond hacker who kind of started off almost like a Batman style, taking from the rich, giving to the poor. And then as the series progressed, you realize it's all about him going after this top 1% of the 1% to get corporate data. And that's when I just had this moment of clarity watching the show. It's a great show, by the way. Love it. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's like, it's not about me. It's not about these naive individuals. It's about what I have access to that just opens up all these doors of the good stuff that hackers really want to get to. And I think there's just no awareness of that out there in the world right now.
Absolutely. And also one more point, I just want to clear Bruce Wayne's good name. You said it was like stealing from the rich to give to the poor. It was actually Robin Hood. Very important, very important distinction. Mr. Good Wayne distinction. Did not do that,
fair.
But he did beat the crap out of criminals. And so we do have love for him still. But yeah, that's a fantastic point. It's never about the individual. It's always what's upstream. And I think that gets forgotten a lot, especially within security. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about how this is, there's no one silver bullet to this. And it's everyone, myself included, 3i, we're always talking about a comprehensive security portfolio. And I think in 2020 and moving beyond, you really have to do a lot to try to lock down all these different devices. And the perimeters have changed so dramatically over the years, where it used to be email communication, where there was something for that. And there was just something as simple as like a firewall to prevent somebody from accessing a website they weren't supposed to be on. But there's all these different lines of perimeter that have kind of slowly crept back to really being the individual, where that's the only constant anymore. Within security, you have how many mobile devices? Rick was talking about earlier. I mean, I've got a mobile device for work. I've got one for my personal. I know a lot of people that do the same. If I change my work phone and get another one, how do you manage what's on that device? And actually, to go back to, I can't remember the organization it was, but somebody, they had like a, I think it was, they used David Hasselhoff's name. It was like a joke internally for like an IT admin account. That it was like a fake demo account they gave credentials to on the engineering team, but they didn't actually have it secured and they forgot about it. And it was that account, not the actual David Hasselhoff, very important to know, but it was that account under his name that actually got hacked, that got people the information that they were looking for because they just had forgotten about it. And so that if you would have had something like a Zips on all of those devices, you could have been able to flag something being done errantly, which somebody just picked up a device. And they're like, oh, David Hasselhoff, ha ha ha. And they're using it as their personal, not paying attention that they had a ton of corporate data on there. That was a huge gaffe. And if you didn't know, you didn't know. It wasn't like it was done on purpose, but does it make it any less vulnerable?
Well, and Reed, you know, on that, you know, since what you're talking about, it's interesting. The destination remains the same. And what I mean by that is, you know, currently, like right now, if I go visit you guys from Grand Rapids, I get in my car and drive from Grand Rapids to Battle Creek. Mm. You know, I'm going from point A to point B. Same thing with emails. I'm sending it from one place to another. What's happened is that the layers of complexity have just exponentially grown. Mm-hmm. And now what I'm able to do is, like, you know, in the future, I can be teleported from Grand Rapids to Battle Creek. The destination remains the same, but how I got there is radically different. And the same thing is happening in networking today. Once again, the destination remains the same. How I'm sending it is radically different and requires a different, you know, adding those new layers of security as we do these same things that we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, I don't know if you want to play on that, because that's such a technical segue, because I was going to say,
do you want to, I know people want to see this. They want to see this demo. So do you want to segue into that, Steve, and then get right into a phishing attack? Does that sound exciting for people?
Yeah. You want to do the phishing? Sorry, do you want to do
it? Is it Rick? Is that where you were going with that? Or
yeah,
you,
I mean, I, let's go hack some stuff. I love hacking my phone all the time. It's fun.
All right. Well, then, Steve, over to you, man. Take control over the screen here. Show us what you got. Break some stuff, and let's do some illegal things, huh? And I mean, kidding. Where this is all, obviously, this is very legal. Yeah, I just want to verify that. My sense of humor sometimes is not.
All right. Let me know if you can, where you can see my
screen. Gotcha.
All right. So one of the major delivery mechanisms or attack vectors of phishing and everything is through an email, right? Mm-hmm. Now I've got one that's crafted. It's a sample, and it kind of leverages a little bit of social engineering as well, right? So I'm just going to click on my email right here. I'm going to click on the email that I've got. So let me scroll through. Now here, I won't actually pick on Wells Fargo, but that's who this is supposed to be right here. Didn't come through on the email here real quick, but we're looking at an account overdraft balance, right? So if we can blow this up a little bit, you can see that it says fix this mistake or, you know, see how and everything, right? So now these links are pretty harmless, right? So if I want to click on it as a user, I'm like, oh, hey, wait, what's going on?
So hold on 1 second. The demo is an account overdraft from my bank. So I immediately think, oh, crap, what did I do? I want to click on that. It looks official with the header and everything. As you said, it's been socially engineered. My immediate reaction is I better do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just got to put the Rick spin on there for a second.
No worries, Rick. Thanks. But you can see right here that Zips is detecting that we're actually opening a malicious website right there, mm-hmm. right? And it's going to tell you which website is malicious right there, right? So I'm going to say okay. And then from a user perspective, we're going to say, all right, well, that URL is risky. Do we really want to continue or not? You know, and this is where a lot of training comes in, and that, you know, maybe for some organizations that may be another gap area, that, you know, another layer that they need to add is add human process to their security training, right? To say, don't click on bad links, right? And this is what it looks like these days.
Is it now? Can you, sorry to interrupt you, can you guys remove the continue anyway?
Yes.
Okay, that's a important distinction.
We can actually suppress that. We can actually suppress that from the technical console.
Yeah, I just want they're watching where it's just like, this is just for the demo purposes. I just want it very clear that if you're not supposed to be going somewhere that we know you're not supposed to be going, we're not going to give you the option to go there. This is just for the demo purposes. But yeah, please, because I didn't mean to interrupt, Steve. Please continue.
That's a great point of distinction right there, right? Because we're built on use cases for the business, right? We're geared toward the enterprise, right? So what that means is maybe somebody does want to allow something to, maybe they do want to let their users continue to that link anyway, right? We classify that difference on the console as a user clicked a bad link versus they visited that bad link anyway. So right here, we're telling them, this is a bad link, don't continue. If they continue anyway, we get an elevated threat in our console, in our view, so then the administrators of the InfoSec team can go take a different course of action on that one.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the phishing detections, right? So we can do that on any mechanism or any delivery method from the phone. So if we wanted to browse to a specific site, or, you know, well, browse to a, if you're if you've got your browser open and you're surfing the web and you come across a link and you click on it and it's bad, we're going to let you know there. You get an SMS that's got a link in it. They click on it. It's bad. We let you know there.
Right. And the biggest thing, so keep me honest, Reed and Steve, is phishing is that's the, once again, is trying to compromise and gain your credentials. Is that, you know, kind of a good, easy summary or launch a ransomware attack, or, you know, can you expand on why does this freak people out?
Well, yeah, please.
Go ahead, Reed.
I was going to say that the that this, again, going back to Greg's point earlier, it's like it's always about what's upstream. This isn't necessarily the fact that I want, you know, on a personal basis, I want your bank account information. I might just want the password that you use for your bank account because it's a sensitive account, and therefore I can cross-reference that in order to get into some other sensitive accounts in your corporate data. And because how many people, I mean, password hygiene's talked about all the time. Guys, I use the same password for everything. I think everyone does. Please don't hack my stuff. Please do not hack my stuff. I know I'm terrible about it. Everyone's terrible about it. It's just, it's impossible to have I know there's like solutions out there for passwords, but you need a password to get into that. And that whatever password I've used is probably out there on the internet anyway, within the dark web, that you'd be able to access it. So again, it's not about your information. It's always about the information that you can get upstream from someone. And so that, I think, it Rick, to your point, I mean, that's a glaring for, at least for myself. I mean, and also too, Steve, can you talk a little about the classifications on this on the back end? We can show it later, but the classification between a link tapped versus a link visited and the differentiating points between those two and the data that you guys can pull. So that way you can flag this stuff internally and actually report back on it.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Right. So when we were doing the first demo and everything, and it got to that point where it said that this URL is risky. Right. So we're going to classify that one as a low threat. It's kind of like a watering hole, right? You're going to click on it. Well, okay. Well, now that I've been warned as a user, it's a low priority, or well, I should say it's a low threat classification because nothing bad happened yet, or the potential for nothing bad has happened yet. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to classify it like that. We're going to show you, we're going to grab the link that you tapped. And then we're going to say, this is what happened, right? A user was browsing the internet. They clicked this link and we're going to show you. When like we saw the continue anyway, right? So if we continued, we would classify that as a link visited, which, you know, on the link visited, maybe there's some potential for data loss, right? So maybe a user actually did put their credentials in. So, you know, depending on where they were going and what they did right there, what they thought they were trying to access by clicking that link, we need to tell that user, hey, you know what? Go change this password wherever you've got it. Just change it, right?
Yeah.
As a simple example.
But I also want to cover a list of items that you can control, and I think that's like the last of the final point, just like far as the panic behind this, because when you see the list of stuff you can control, it's like, it's kind of freaky, guys. And it all happens without your knowing, which is even worse. And things like, you know, just a sneak peek, you know, snapping a photo without your knowledge, turning your camera and microphone on without your knowledge, all kinds of really sinister stuff. That we'll show you a list of that in a second. But do you guys want to go through a man in the middle attack? Because I know that, you know, with phishing being so top of mind, between like Greg was talking about the, you know, the Corona era attacks, as far as phishing scams, as far as information goes, like, hey, click this to see you are up to date with the latest heat map of Corona. And everyone's so panicked about this stuff. It's like, hey, do you want to know if there's coronavirus in your neighborhood? Click this link. And the people are freaked out. They're like, oh, I want to know, is my neighbor, does he have it? Does she have it? It's like, it's not. So there's like all this panic around it. So they use that to their advantage. Same thing with the stimulus that we talked about earlier. It's like, hey, are you trying to support your business, small business owners especially? Click this link for make sure you're getting the maximum of your stimulus, your stimulus package. So again, huge top of mind, but once things start to open back up, people do get back out into the world and they start using Wi-Fi on airplanes and airports and hotels and coffee shops and what have you. I think the man in the middle attack is something to very, very much be aware of, and how easy it is, one, and then two, how dangerous it can be. So Steve, can you show us that as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Steve, you're my favorite person, Steve. I mean, never to upset you.
At least not while I'm present, right?
Yeah. Right.
So no, all joking aside, now, before we get too far into the man in the middle attack, one thing that I do want to say, and Rick, this is going to come back around to your example when you were at the casino and you saw all of your SSIDs right there, right? Your phones they're pretty promiscuous. They're giving you a lot of information. They're leaking data constantly. So by design, Android, iOS, doesn't matter the platform, those phones are broadcasting out saying, hey, can I see this wireless network? And if so, I want to attach to it because I know my wireless is generally a better connection mechanism than my cellular card, right? Mm. So in this case, what we can do and how it starts a lot of times is we could take a simple little piece of equipment like a pineapple, right? A nano pineapple and everything.
Can you explain that, what that is for the people listening and people watching? Like, what is a pineapple? We say this stuff all the time, right? Just in case somebody doesn't know.
A pineapple is a little piece of equipment. It's more or less a wireless access point, mm-hmm. right? That has a special chipset on it that can listen to everything that's being broadcast, right? So you put that access point into listen mode, and it can actually say, it can actually pick up what your phone is telling it, right? So if I put my little access point like that pineapple into promiscuous mode or into listen mode, essentially, I'm just gonna let it sit there and listen, right? Mm. And if you're around, I'm gonna say, oh, hey, look, this is, you know, Reed's phone is telling me that it wants to connect to, you know, this whatever network, your home network, for instance. I don't know what your home network SSID is, but if I were near you,
it's a CIA safe house.
Right. I don't think I actually have that one programmed in right now, but I'll keep that in mind. So, you know, I can take any of those, right, and connect to it. And for the sake of our demo, right, let me actually just turn my Wi-Fi back on. I'm connecting to one that's just internet, right? It just says internet. We're not going to make it that fancy or anything, right? So when I connect to it, here we're actually going to get an alert that says we've connected to a rogue access point.
Here. Yeah, let me start recording. We are recording, I have to tell you, federal law. That's actually not true. For some reason, I find that to be the most funny thing for me. But all right, so you're going to show us a man-in-the-middle attack, and this is on a Huawei phone, which probably already has this already downloaded previously. Getting
right.
Please show us.
No worries. I've actually already connected to this network and everything, right? So I'll show you the alert that we would get, right? So from the demo cases here, what we're going to do is exploit this device using this rogue access point. You know, like I said, I've already connected to this rogue access point, and the network name is internet, right? So we can see, you know what, let me just disable that, re-enable it, and we'll show the viewers and everything exactly what we would see, right? So there's your rogue Wi-Fi connection right there. There's your man in the middle. It's just that easy. Yeah. Your phone is telling me what network it wants to connect to, and I'm pretending to be that network.
And again, so if you don't have Zips on your device, you're not going to get a warning like this. This isn't something that's embedded. You're never going to see it. It's just going to connect because it has a stronger signal, and your phone wants to get to the strongest signal.
That's correct. This is not part of Android or anything like that. This is proprietary to Zips. So. Let me get back out here. All right. So now we're going to go ahead and select this. What we're doing here is we're standing up our socially engineered website, right? So as soon as that attack server is ready, that means we've injected that malware into the application that we're going to direct the user to go download. Okay. So in this case, we're going to go to go.com. So I'm just going to open up Google, right? I'm going to go to go.com. Right. So here's our socially engineered website. Right. So we're telling everybody, hey, click here to get a free gift card. Click there. We're going to download it. It's going to tell us we've got a suspicious application. Right. Again, never know that if you don't have Zips protecting you.
Right. And this is all. I mean, also, too, like, you know, really, really talented language artists can put this in so that it's basically all happening automatically. So you click on that. You're not asking to get download. You're not asking to download anything. It's just bypassing, bypassing. There's a word that doesn't exist. Bypassing all of your checkbox screens that you would normally have to check. It's just running through that and automatically doing it.
Yeah, we are slowing the attack down right now so that we can actually talk about each particular section of the attack.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in a live situation, you know, like you were saying, the user would never really have to go download this and say, all right, well, how do I want to install this? It would just happen.
Right. Because just so everyone's aware, it's like, you know, because if you don't explain that, people are like, would you really go through this many steps to get a gift card? Probably not. This is not something that normally happens. This is a script that automatically goes. We're just having, we have to slow it down.
Right.
So these steps.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So we're actually telling people, you know, we're detecting that side loaded application right there. We're going to give you the chance to uninstall it as zips. Right. So in this case, for demonstration purposes, we're going to say, no, we're not going to uninstall that application. Mm. Right, so I'm going to go run this to get my free gift card. And I get my Trojan installed and my command and control channel established.
Crazy. Right. And then just on the right here, look at all the stuff that just popped up that you now have control over. This is stuff that you can control remotely on a device that you're not touching.
That's correct. So I can get a photo. I can. Now in this case, we've got it programmed to use the front-facing camera, right? So maybe I want to see whose phone I've got, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a picture, and it's going to send it back to my command and control channel to show me, right? So I'm just going to pick up the phone here real quick, and we'll take a picture of the console here real quick, right? So let me take a photo. And there we go.
Man,
and a bit small. I had it a little too close and everything like that. But you know, you get the idea right here, right? So this is how data can. This is just one example of how data can be exfiltrated from that device.
That's nuts. So if you were like to use a, it actually happened in a Zoom meeting. It made swept the internet. If you were on your toilet. Mm-hmm. And you were using this, someone could easily snap a photo of you and I know it's a gross example, but I also want to highlight how vulnerable people are. You have a camera in front of your face at all times during the day, mm-hmm. with your phone, all times. You have an iPad laying out, a Samsung tablet laying out, whatever the case may be. Get that little camera and a microphone. I saw a microphone thing in there actually. Can you go through that?
We'll get that one here in a minute. You know, just another example, we can send this file via email. I won't do that right now unless you really want it, but.
No, it's okay.
Let's go ahead and just say okay, right? So you're looking at the record audio, right? So if I record audio for 10 seconds now, it's going to record me because I'm talking and everything. I don't know because of my headset whether, you know, it's going to pick up anybody else's voice at this point.
Gotcha.
Right? But I can certainly email it to you, and then you could play it on your side, right? Mm. And then hear it. I might just. Let me see if I could, I don't know. Let's play it real quick and see what happens, right? See if you could hear can you hear the sound? No.
I cannot, no, because it's probably going through your headset.
It is going through my headset, right? So.
But you have the audio from what you were just, we can't hear it, but we have your audio, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah, so imagine now you're talking to somebody, you're in a meeting, you've got some sensitive information you're discussing. And again, this goes back to what Greg was saying earlier. It's not about your data. It's about something else. It's a much bigger fish that everybody's after. So you're like, oh, I don't really care about this. Nobody wants my data. So no one takes your data. But then you go into a meeting and you're having a conversation with your CEO or your CFO about something that's very confidential. And someone's recording that entire audio conversation of your meeting. That's freaking bananas.
That's exactly right. Just imagine you're in a board meeting or something like that, right? And somebody turns on the microphone.
Man, that's crazy.
But and you know,
not to go all scare tactics here too, but it's not if or when these devices get compromised, right? They already are. And I think one of my favorite stats from a report you guys put out that we use in a lot of our marketing campaigns is that 100% of Zimperium customers detected threats instantly. Like the threats are there. And it's just that mentality of, oh, it's never going to happen to me. Well, you know, it probably already actually has.
Isn't that crazy? 100%. That's freaking nuts, man. 100% of the people that have put this on their devices have already found that there's an issue. That's.
Yeah. You know, I mean, 90% of our targeted attacks start with a network attack, right? Yeah. So, you know, this is exactly what we're showing right here.
So you can record, upload an MP3, your correct, text messages, yeah, your phone calls, mm-hmm, can be recorded. Your contacts list can be completely exfiltrated.
Right. Now, this guy's fictitious. I'll throw that out there. I mean, it's somebody I just made up and everything.
Sure. Yeah.
To put on the phone just for demo purposes. Right.
Poor David McDaniel's listening to this podcast. Like, what?
Like, hey, David McDaniel, we have your info. He's like,
but you know, the interesting thing about that, Steve, is when you clicked get contacts, when I look at that, there's nothing happening on the mobile device.
That's exactly right.
So from exactly a user perspective, I don't even know this is happening right now.
Yeah, and that's a great point. All this is happening in the background without your knowledge.
Right.
So phone calls, correct, contacts, audio, pictures, MP3s, whatever the case may be. And this is just for this one particular demo, but yeah, I've seen the same thing. There's another very powerful demo that an engineer has done with me previously where you can, just within the same setup, same man in the middle attack, I can completely expose your keychain. So every password you have, all the usernames, all your SSIDs, all the passwords for those, all of that data is exposed literally within about 10 seconds of clicking on the wrong thing. And you have no idea. That's the freaky part. You just don't know that this has even happened.
That's true, Reed. Another thing to add to that is, you know, that technically the keychain is supposed to be encrypted at rest, right? So, you know, when that demo happens, we're bypassing data encryption altogether. So yeah, if I, as an attacker, if I own that phone, if I've compromised that device to get root access to that device, I'm not playing in a sandbox. I'm not playing like a normal application anymore. I'm mm-hmm. playing at the root level of that device. So I have access to everything that's on that device. So if this yeah. certificate is there, I can, you know, we were talking about emails back and forth, right? Another example of that demo is injecting yourself into an email thread into an existing contact thread, right? So you're exploiting the user's trust of that device at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I think we've covered a ton today, so we definitely got to start wrapping up for people here that are listening or people that are watching. But I want to make a couple last, just kind of some last points and closing comments for you guys to be able to make them. But there's one frustration that's been happening. We kind of danced on. I just want to come back to you real quick, and that's MDM. I have an MDM, so I'm secured on this stuff. And it's a weird errant talk track. It's wholly inaccurate. And for some reason, MDMs got wrapped into mobile device management has been wrapped into security. And while there is some security that MDM does provide from a management of the device, it is not threat defense. And so, and I know, Steve, you have a pretty big background in this as far as with previous careers and your life and security, but can you talk a little bit about maybe why MDM has been smashed into threat defense as though if you have an MDM, then you're completely set from these types of attacks? Because it's patently wrong, and it's, I think, causing a lot of problems in the market.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Reed. I mean, you know, from a little bit about my background, I cut my teeth in mobility and everything back in the AirWatch days when I think it was around 2011 or so. It was sold in that day, and I'm not picking on AirWatch by any means. You know, I think they've got a Workspace ONE, I should say now, right? They've got a great product. But it was sold to the enterprise as mobile security, right? Because there was just nothing else at the time. Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was doing MTD or mobile threat defense or anything like that. So
not to this corporations, extent, right? Yeah.
No, exactly. Not to this extent. So, you know, from a feature perspective, products like an MDM, right? They do a great compliance posture check, And I would challenge the industry. Let's stop calling MDM mobile security and start calling it a compliance engine, because really that's what it is. It does a great job of enforcing whether a PIN code is on the device, whether the device has been encrypted or not. And it can take away things in certain circumstances, right? Like, you know, maybe take away your email if something bad happens, but it can't detect when something bad has happened. Mm-hmm. Your MDM products, they just can't tell you when your device is under a man-in-the-middle attack, right? So you notice in our demo right here, if we had MDM configured as another layer of the protection platform, MDM would never tell you that we've experienced a man-in-the-middle attack or that you sideloaded an application on your device.
Right.
So MTD works now with Zimperium specifically, right? We work really well hand-in-hand with MDM providers, right? So we look at it like, on one hand, we've got mobile threat defense. We've got zips and everything. We're the sensor that's sitting out there and watching for bad stuff to happen on your device. Now, because we're a mobile threat defense company, there's limited amounts, there's limited things that we can do to protect that phone. So that's where we can leverage advanced server-side actions from an MDM. You know, we can call those into play in our policy and everything that say, hey, tell your MDM that something bad has happened on your phone to go take care of it. So sometimes maybe we were talking about the man-in-the-middle attack earlier. You know, as an example, mobile threat defense has identified that network of that phone is under attack, and it tells your mobile device management system that the phone is under an attack, and maybe you want to pull your email profile off of that phone during that condition. Right.
Right. So something like that, if something like this happened, you could, in concert with an MDM, you can basically just dust all of your corporate data. So that way there's no issue. And I think that's where this becomes really powerful. And that actually, I think one thing we kind of started talking about was like the castle analogy, as far as where you guys fit in with this, and there not being a single silver bullet within the world of security anymore. And you really have to be on the offense to do this properly. And as you examine the different perimeters of where security exists and the issues that exist around those perimeters, like, identity is a huge piece of that. The mobile device is a piece of that. Communication is a piece of that. And we talked about this on a different podcast, that it's not defense in depth, meaning like one wall is great, so we're going to build other walls. That's not the case. It's each individual piece of this. NetMotion, for example, is a phenomenal product. Rapid Identity from Identity Automation for MFA. Scion for what happens when you're actually inside of an organization, you've gotten through and you're using the right credentials. Who monitors it then? So there's all these different ways, and there's different perimeters of attack that I think people are forgetting about. And they're saying, okay, I have this MDM. I'm good. There's an errant talk track already that we've already debunked, but it gets past all of those other pieces, or I should say those other pieces get passed up and forgotten about because they think you got one thing, you're good to go on security. And that just is not the case.
That's right. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you, sir. Can you stop sharing your screen so we can see your wonderful face? There we go. I don't want people to be left out of the Steve Flowers. There it is. Bring it back for the final comments here. Do you guys have, there he is, Mr. Flowers himself. Oh, the background, by the way. Let me ask you, do you have pins on that map where you've been in the world?
I don't. There'd be too many pins on the map, actually. No, I in my old house, I used to have it sitting right across from me and during stressful periods, I would just sit there and look at it and go, you know what? I want to go there. I don't know where that is. I want to go there.
That's
so
cool.
It was a great stress relief for me.
Nice, man. All right. Well, on that note, do we guys have any, I mean, we're almost at, I'm not sure what the official time is here, but I know we're running out of it. Last closing comments, thoughts, anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up here?
You know, I think one thing I just want to leave with, and Steve, thank you for the demo going into what we can do. The big question is, what are you doing to protect your mobile devices today? Mm-hmm. And more importantly, how do you know if you're even under attack? And I think a lot of what we tried to do today is share with you some stories as well as real world examples of doing the demo of what a vulnerability looks like and how an exploit can happen unknowingly if you don't have something such as mobile threat defense on these mobile devices.
Well said.
The one other comment that I would make, we were talking about pivoting into a corporate environment earlier, right? So in the demo, we didn't really explain it fully, but remember you saw that upload MP3 to the phone and everything. And that's just during our demo, that's one example of how we can upload upload a file. But what happens if I've got a weaponized file, right? So maybe I've got a PDF that I've got a specific vulnerability in that's going to execute on a Windows platform, right? If I've got access to your mobile phone and I've just uploaded that file to your mobile phone, I don't care whether you open it on your mobile phone or not, but what happens if you take that phone back to your corporate environment and you detonate that file, you open it up from your laptop or your PC, that opens up a command and control channel from there, right?
It's so easy to see that line. It's kind of unbelievable. Or in the case of controlling someone's phone, which is in the attack that I talked about, the mental attack, as far as exposing keychain, one of the things that he did as well was to send an email out as that person. So now you're uploading a malicious file, but you're sending out, I mean, imagine the CEO of a company sending an email out to everyone, be like, hey guys, make sure you have your updated security policies. That just came from the CEO with with malware attached to it from that email handle. If that doesn't get blocked, it's inside the organization. It's probably going to get missed and clicked on by a ton of folks. Just incredibly, incredibly damaging. So again, it's not so much about your data. Sometimes it is, but it's not so much about your specific data or what somebody can get from you. It's about the upstream piece and what somebody can get from a company or an organization that you work for. Greg, before we wrap, do you have anything, sir, to add? Thank you again for being a part of this, man. This is great.
Of course. No, I just want to say thanks to Rick and Steve. And I think, my big takeaway from today is that so much of this is just awareness-based. Right. And you guys do a great job as Zimperium at putting out this educational content, putting it in a story form, putting it in ways that are easy to interpret. Now, how can we channelize this for channel partners? Where can they go if they want to spread this awareness to their customers? Is there an easy way for them to get this message, get their hands on the stuff you've put out there and evangelize that themselves?
I think the key with that, right there, Greg, and how what you want to talk about is the questions that you have with customers today. What is their security policy regarding mobile? And a lot of times they'll say, well, mobile, that's just a person who's considered on the mobile contracts. It's like, all right, but are your employees allowed to access corporate data via their mobile device? Yes. How do you know if it's been compromised or not? And you want to be exploratory in those questions, understanding what's permissible or not, and highlight that these are vulnerabilities. I think a key thing, a lot of people say, well, I got an MDM, I'm rock solid. That's a great first layer that was state of the art 5-6 years ago, but you're seeing all these different attack vectors, like talking about apps, OSs being out of date, about phishing, all these different attack vectors coming on that mobile device to gain control of it. That's that next level of sophistication that a lot of people aren't even thinking about. And part of our job is to act as consultants and storytellers to say, are you aware of this? Have you even thought about that? And I also have a solution that can help you out. And that's really, where I would start with the conversations, Greg.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
And thank you guys so much for doing this. That brings us to the end. God, that was a fantastic knowledge-packed episode of Beyond the Device. Steve Flowers, Rick Remus from Zimperium hanging out with us today, talking about mobile threat defense. Guys, thank you so much. Greg Waddell from 3i. marketing man himself. I appreciate all three of you hanging out with us today and teaching us about mobile threat defense in Zimperium. I hope you guys learned something. I know I do every time I hang out with you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening and watching. And next time, we'll see you on the internet. Cheers, guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Reed. See you guys.
See you guys.